Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to strike, pass, caught. Juju Smith-Schuster and a Kansas City touchdown. Rolling out, flinging it, Pacheco. Pacheco finds his way to the end zone and a Kansas City touchdown.
Quick little passes right away, boom.
End zone bound, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. Tyquan Thornton. Pass, end zone, caught. Touchdown, Hollywood Brown, number four for Mahomes.
Well, number one, we've got to become consistent, stopping the run up front. You know, that goes with the front, the linebackers, edge guys, DB showing up. That's got to be more consistent. Way too many times in this game, the Chiefs do what they do well. They get into third and short. You know, and our goal was to keep them in third, try to get them to third and six plus, you know, and that just consistently did not happen. And that's the combination of the run game, good quick passing game. You know, the boots and the different things they do, and they out-executed us for sure in those areas. So we've got to become much better there. It's got to start with that.
Jim Nantz on the call, courtesy of CBS, and then you heard from Coach John Harbaugh following a 37-20 loss to the Chiefs 6 days after getting absolutely ran over by the Lions, 224 yards on the ground, third most in franchise history given up. And this feels like a serious low point for an organization and a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, maybe not Super Bowl or bust. Mm. John Harbaugh did not like that, but
wow.
This Chiefs team...
it's looking like bust.
This Chiefs team that they just played, Jason, looked like they were in disarray, and they started the season 0-2. They beat the Giants in an ugly game and scored a season high at that time, 22 points.
Yeah,
and we know that this Chiefs offense has not looked like the 2018 Chiefs offense when Patrick Mahomes burst onto the scene. The 37 points that they scored yesterday, that is the most amount of points that Kansas City has scored since week 3 of 2023. And the Ravens, they lost a game by two scores or more, three scores, for the first time since week 10, 2021. That was the Dolphins debacle, the cover zero debacle. Oh, yeah. And they should have lost by double digits on Monday night against the Lions. They scored that garbage time touchdown. Yeah. This is... it's looking bleak, and it's still September.
This was pretty humiliating. And there's blame to go all around. And the injuries are part of the story. And Lord knows we'll talk about injuries, and we'll get injury reports all year. But it's an injury sport. It's a collision sport. It's a concussion sport. It's a violent sport. And if you're going to throw bouquets at people during a six-month offseason about how great their roster is, then it better be great 1 through 65, because your depth is going to matter. And I watch a lot of football, and there's a lot of teams with a lot of injuries, like the Dallas Cowboys, for instance, who people thought would get humiliated by Green Bay. They got injuries the offensive line. They traded their best pass rusher. They bring in Kenny Clark. He's banged up. He's on the injury report all week. They got their best corner kind of quasi-suspended for the first quarter of the game. They went out there, played their asses off to a tie. Right? Got off the mat. They got a kid, Ezra Roscoe, second round pass rusher, actually looks like he can play. You know, like, you want to make vanity picks. You want to sit out D-tackle drafts. You want to sit out restocking your offensive line in the trenches. You want to let McCary walk and replace him with Noteboom. Like, you can do all of that. There's a pretty decent chance that your injury luck was going to regress, and your depth might be called upon sooner rather than later. And their depth didn't want none of it. They weren't about that action. Like, on either side of the ball, it was a disaster. The false starts, the intentional groundings, the right side of the offensive line. Ronnie Stanley, we talked in real time. Hey, that's great that they got Ronnie for that price. Why did they get Ronnie for that price? He's a medical reject for a lot of teams. He's been on borrowed time. Like, we know what Ronnie Stanley's been through. He put it in his own words in the Players Tribune, right? Banking on Ronnie to get through the year and not who's the new backup left tackle. Who replaces McCary? All right. You got to play with Noteboom and Rosengarten. I got news for you. You got a bottom five offensive line in this league. Even in a league of horse bleep offensive line, you got a really bad one because you're already trying to get by without guards. So, like, that's where they are. And some of it is scheme, and some of it, I'm sure, is Zach Orr, and yeah, injuries and bad luck. They came into the year with deficient depth on the offensive line and defensive line. Nobody who knows football except for them thought they had a pass rusher worth a damn on their team. And I'm including 36-year-old Van Noy because it wasn't going to happen a third straight time. And their response to all that was, we know better. Well, guess what? That was pathetic on any account. That was not professional grade. And there are injured teams all over the place. Kansas City was having trouble with the Giants. If they don't get a lucky call on a lateral or two, they might have messed around and lost to the Giants. And yes, the Ravens had a nice early game script. They went with the pass, the quick pass, like I said they should. They went with more justice, like I said they should. And then Spags adjusted, and it was one-way traffic the rest of the game. And they got blown up in the trenches. And the only reason it doesn't look so bad running the ball is that Andy Reid refuses. But whenever he handed it off to Pacheco, and especially the few times they went under center with Pacheco, it was 6 yards. So he could have done it either way, but he wanted to boost his quarterback's confidence and boost his quarterback's numbers. So he let him throw for four and kind of mess around and try to throw for five, right? Until he finally took him out. That's what he thought of you and your team, Harbaugh. He thought he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do to you, use it as a gussy up my confidence, gussy up the back of the football card game, and emasculate you. And guess what? It worked.
We're going to break down Ravens Chiefs between now and 6. We'll also work in some Orioles talk as well, because Mike Elias,
what a humdinger,
interim manager Tony Mancelino, they held a end of season press conference at the warehouse.
We don't need a real managerial search, and we don't need a GM. Mike's got it all under control.
Cordell Woodland was at the warehouse, and he's also going to be at the castle because John Harbaugh is set to meet with the media in less than 20 minutes. Cordell is going to join us at 5, and Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, comes on at 4.
Yeah, a lot to get to here. What a time to be a Baltimore sports fan. Well, hey, look, Terps, I'm fired up. They host Washington. I mean, hope springs eternal. I think they got a chance, Bone. I think they got a chance. 3:30 kickoff at College Park. I'll be there. I'm excited about that. They were on a bye, so nothing bad happened there. Yeah, the Orioles finished the season with a whimper. It was shameful letting an interim manager, who looks like he's going to get the job anyway, speak before the GM. It's clear that they told Mangelino the answers to the test, and that we've got leadership. You just don't see it. All the answers are within. The young core is better than you think. We don't need outside help. Like, it's just typical of them. Katie Griggs is going to have a say in the manager. Like, they're a joke. You are Bush League. You are frauds. You are a joke. You're stealing people's money.
Jason shot out of a cannon on this Monday. You haven't heard Ken Wyman, because Ken, he's out sick. Hope he feels better. We maybe will have Ken.
He'll live
tomorrow. But at the bottom of the hour, we are going to play some of the best cuts from Mike Elias in that press conference. But coming up next, Jason, you alluded to the injuries and the Ravens. They got blown out and they lost several starters as well. We'll give you an update on that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on The Fan.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about with the challenges. I mean, those are the challenges that you do face from time to time, and you know, it's tough in a game like this against a really good team on the road, but you know, you got to try to find a way to win anyway, and we've never made excuses for those kind of things, and the guys who are up there are going to play well, and we've got to find ways to put our guys in the best positions to execute play after play and play a winning football game. You know, that'll be our challenge.
That was John Harbaugh talking about the difficulties of trying to plug those holes when the injuries continue to mount for the Ravens. And they lost five players yesterday in the game. Ronnie Stanley, who it sounds like was far from 100% suiting up in that one.
Last time we saw him try to play a game with that little bit of practice, we remember what it looked like, and he didn't get through it. And I said through the week that's one to watch, because
I was saying Friday I didn't think he was going to play. Yeah. And he didn't last all that long. He has an ankle injury. Roquan Smith, he left yesterday's game due to a hamstring injury. Marlon Humphrey was ruled out due to a calf injury. Nate Wiggins looked like he suffered the most severe injury. He ended up getting carted off due to an elbow injury. But of course, Lamar Jackson being the biggest injury of the bunch, he left due to a hamstring injury.
When you're negligent in building your team from the trenches out, you've become susceptible to this. And when you build your team with all your assets and your DBs, and you want all the DBs in the world on the field, and now teams who already could throw on you despite you building your team that way for years, now without a Matabike and no one to back him up and Jones beat up and Brody, and that, look, that is a lot. But they also never brought anybody in to really replace Pierce. And they sat out a potentially generational D-tackle draft, except for a kid who doesn't fit the mold at the very end. Certainly doesn't fit the mold of the kind of D-tackles backups that they needed. Then you run the risk of your connective tissue falling apart. And so the problem now is they can throw it or run it. So you're going to have smaller DBs who are coming down and run support, who are having to deal with screen pass after screen pass, because Lord knows your linebackers can't handle it at all, even the guy you're paying $20 million to. So, and then he leaves the game. So now you're susceptible to those guys getting hurt, coming down and run support. And Nate Wiggins doesn't have the typical NFL build. That's why you were able to get him where you got him. So, like, don't look at this like it's through a vacuum. Like, Matabike was that important. I told you in real time, Lions are going to get 400 yards on them. Lions are going to score at will. Don't look at the numbers with the Chiefs. I had the Chiefs hanging at least 27 on them. I was being conservative. Like, so now how do you combat this? Well, you really can't. It's a triage unit, and there's too many fires to put out. And soft tissue things can be tricky. But I'll say this about Roquan Smith. He was getting obliterated before he left the game. He was Andy Reid picked on him last year, first game of the season, and picked right back up where he left off. Whoever thought Marlon on Xavier Worthy was a matchup worth fighting for, that made no sense. Roquan couldn't guard Kelsey. He couldn't guard a running back. He couldn't guard the rookie running back. He couldn't guard anybody. And again, if they wanted to run under center, they could have done it all day.
Yeah, Roquan Smith yesterday, pass attempts against him, 3 for 3, 37 yards and a touchdown, almost a perfect passer rating against Roquan Smith. But I also think bringing up all of this and now the injuries, I'm not saying people are using that as an excuse why the Ravens lost. They were getting killed with these guys heading into the second half.
Oh, they'll be using it in the castle.
But what I'm saying is this, Jason. I know in 2021, 2022, they got bit by the injury bug repeatedly, but these past couple of years, the Ravens have been remarkably healthy.
Yes.
And if you look at just last year alone, according to FTN Fantasy's adjusted games lost metric, the Ravens were both the healthiest team of 2024 and the third healthiest team of the past 14 seasons. So they've had remarkably good injury luck where that's just not going to happen every single year.
Well, and let's look at who got hurt. Van Noy, age 36. Ronnie Stanley. We thought his career might have been over 3 years ago. He thought his career might have been over 3 years ago. Ankle. That's a shocker. Really? An ankle? Really? Who could have seen that coming? Right? I mean, again, Nate Wiggins on a play like that, yeah, his shoulder might blow up if that's what he's doing on a football field. Like, that's the concern about him. Like, are you shocked that a collision like that left him on a cart? I'm not. So, I mean, again, like, and so, yeah, injuries happen. But you can't also tell me it's the best roster and now you're an utterly non-competitive football team on both sides of the ball. Like you can't be that great at roster building and construction. You can't have a GM come out after last season ends ingloriously and say, I don't have that much work to do this offseason. Like, you know, this one, usually that's my hardest season, but you know, we got a team. I mean, have you seen our roster? Like we're pretty set. All we got to do is draft a couple rookies. Okay, well, your rookie free safety is really playing like a rookie free safety. Your rookie pass rusher is a nothing burger right now who's being overexposed because the injuries are forcing you to play him more than he have to. Why? How could you have protected that? Clowney looked pretty good last night. You could have done that for starters. Who was begging you to do that all summer long? So I don't want to hear about injuries. They made their bed in a lot of ways, and now they're sleeping in it, and they're getting fleas.
It's a mess, and the defense was an abject failure week one when everyone was healthy, but now the concern is this offense, and John Harbaugh about to meet with the media in less than 10 minutes, and what is the status of Lamar Jackson? And the Ravens, they did go out and, of course, get a Cooper Rush in an instance if Lamar has to miss a week or two, but this offense was bad yesterday with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar was certainly part of the problem. That series in which he was called for delay of game twice in a three-play stretch, and then the very next play with an intentional ground, like, I don't know what was going on with this offense, but after that opening drive, which was fantastic, it was horrible.
He looked frustrated. I mean, some of Harbaugh's comments after the game, kind of shining a light on Monk. It didn't look like plays were getting in quickly enough. I think at times Lamar might not have trust. Look, we can take this back to this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. What was Lamar's reaction to some of the goal-to-go plays that were coming in last week, just 6 days ago? Okay? So, like, yeah, you lose a Ricard, right? Why was Likely even up for that game? Another ridiculous personnel decision. That's on Harbaugh. Jair shouldn't have been up for the first game. I don't know why Likely was up in this game. So now you're playing with a hand tied behind your back.
He was playing late in the game.
And then a couple injuries happen, and now everything's magnified. And so, yeah, I think Monk was feeling the heat. I think Lamar was feeling the heat. The way teams are able to spy them now without having to worry about a 300-pound fullback coming in and cleaning my clock if I do have a delayed blitz while I spy Lamar. Like, the walls are closing in a lot of ways. It's not bringing out the best in any of them. And yeah, if they've got an acute tackle issue now, and I think they might, there is a path for the Houston Texans to win this game without scoring a whole lot of points.
We're going to get back into the Ravens at the top of the hour, give you a six-pack, our six defensive observations, and boy, was it ugly for that unit again. 2:45, Ravens in another early season hole, and the Steelers are out to a early lead in the AFC North after picking up a win in Dublin. But coming up next, we're going to play some sound from Mike Elias, who held his end-of-season press conference with interim manager Tony Mancelino. What were the biggest lessons that he's learned over the past years? He talked about his promotion, the process of finding a new manager. We're going to play some of his best sound next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on the Fan.
You have to evolve. You have to adapt in this game. That's always been the case. But you know, I think that's the most concise lesson I can draw for you.
That was Mike Elias, who met with the media at the warehouse earlier today, talking about what he's learned most over the past year, where it's been a humbling 12 months for Mike Elias. But before we get back to Elias.
Mm-hmm.
Our own Cordell Woodland is at the press conference, John Harbaugh's Monday press conference, tweeted this out. Harbaugh said that Nnamdi Matabike is going on season-ending IR. Broderick Washington, short-term IR. When asked if Matabike's career is in jeopardy, John said he feels like that's something that Matabike should address himself.
So yeah, that sounds like the worst case scenario. And obviously, most importantly, is Nnamdi Matabike being able to have a quality of life moving forward. And you hate when young people have to struggle with these sorts of issues and these sorts of decisions. But that is, unfortunately, inherently the nature of this sport. And it happens quite often. I mean, look, his defensive coordinator can relate to this. So for Harbs to be speaking in those terms obviously connotes that this is more than just a week-to-week, month-to-month situation. And any sort of procedure that anyone gets on their neck or spine area in terms of playing a collision sport for a living carries massive, massive weight. So we're not surprised because we've been hearing rumblings that he wasn't going to play another snap for a while now and that this could lead to him having to undergo some sort of a procedure. And again, I think he's the second most important player on this football team to Lamar Jackson. And they've got a lot of it's not, you're not just replacing one player when you're replacing Nnamdi Matabike. And now there's also no Pierce. And now there's no Brody for a while. That's a major problem.
Cordell also tweeted saying Harbaugh said he has a good feel about all of the injuries they're dealing with, but he didn't want to give any information on them. Ian Rappaport, he tweeted this out recently saying Marlon Humphrey, who was ruled out with a calf injury on Sunday, is expected to miss a couple of weeks. So you would think he's out until the bye. They only have two games until their bye week. Ian went on to say, not as bad as it could have been. All of Baltimore's soft tissue injuries appear to be week to week, not major.
Yeah. We'll see.
Let's get back to the Orioles and Mike Elias. And what, a couple weeks ago, that was when Britt Ciroli, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, reported that Mike Elias had been promoted to president of baseball operations. Issue was, it did not happen in the month of September. It happened last offseason. Mike, how did it go down?
Yes, yeah, so I know that came out in a bit of an unusual way. That was an arrangement that we reached this year in the spring, early in the spring. And at that point in time, with everything that we had going on, it wasn't a huge immediate priority for me to announce that or for us to announce that. And, you know, as we got into the season and things started to go the way that they went, it was nowhere near my mind at that time to address that situation. But that is the case. It does provide us the ability to utilize the general manager title in a way that many, many other organizations and a growing number of other organizations are starting to utilize it to beef up the throughput, but also the talent in the front office. And it's something that we have begun to consider and explore. But obviously it's got to be the right person, the right fit for the Orioles, for the org, for the whole situation. And it may not happen imminently, but that is a pathway that's available to us. Yeah. And it's something that we may be interested in doing. It may be this offseason, it may not be.
What is throughput? I'd like to throughput him to another organization. Or maybe just another dimension in time. Is there a parallel universe that we could throughput him to and get a real general manager here? Let me decode for you. Yeah, I like to do everything in secrecy. You mooks who pay my salary don't even deserve to know our hierarchy or how much power I have. And you know what? Yeah, it was a pretty crappy offseason, so I didn't want to cop to it then and say, yeah, I got more money and more power. Even though I didn't get any real pitching, and even though, you know, Santander and Corbin Burns laughed in my face about my fake offers to them. And then the team stunk really bad. So like then I had to fire the manager before Memorial Day. And if I was worth a damn, like if I had any like covenant with the fans, or I respected you at all, or there was any degree of transparency here, that would have been a good time to maybe say, oh, by the way, we've relieved him of our duties, and just thought you guys should know we've also changed around our baseball operation. So not only could we be looking for a new manager, we might add a general manager as well. But he told you all the soul searching he was doing at that time, which amounted to nothing, and he didn't think he owed you that then. No, why didn't he tell you that then? Because it was a horse bleep product that might stay horse bleep. So I'm not gonna cop to it now. I'm not going to admit to it. Maybe it'll never get out.
Well, you heard Mike Elias. Maybe they hire a GM this offseason. Maybe not. But they definitely will hire a manager.
Without hiring the general manager first. He told us that.
And here's Mike Elias on the process of finding a new manager.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll just talk about that topic generally.
You're welcome.
First of all, the timing, understanding the timing, the manner, the context around how Tony got that assignment, and everything that he needed to do and was in front of him to work through, we think he did a terrific job as the interim manager with that particular assignment in 2025, with where the players were, with where the organization was. I thought he added a lot of value and did a great job with that assignment. And I got a chance to work with him much more closely during this. And I'm very impressed with him as I've gotten to know him more. And I think he's a very talented guy and has a lot of skills that would add up to a great major league manager now or in the future. I've told him that we are going to utilize the opportunity of having the permanent chair vacant to talk to other people and learn and see who is available, who's interested, and figure out who the right fit is for this team for 2026. That process is going to include him, and he will be a real candidate, but I expect we are going to talk to other people, and we're initiating that process imminently.
So Tony Mansellino, a very real candidate.
He's going to get the job.
It sounds.
He brought up Katie Griggs having a role in this. Let me tell you, their books are not great. They're not in great shape. They're not making the money they thought they would make. Mansellino came out and groveled for the job, and they let him speak before this. He said how loyal he is, said I'll stay under any circumstances, don't really care about picking my staff. Adley's the best. Yeah, I love not having any say in anything. He said this. No, I don't know that a manager should have that much say in this or that. What do you think of personnel? I don't know anything about personnel. I'm just here to pull the levers they let me pull. Oh, yeah, and I'll do it for less money than anybody on the planet. Like, bro. They don't even know how to sell a charade. Like, if you're going to play three-card Monty, you better have some sleight of hand. I called this weeks ago.
Real quick, one last one. Mike Elias on if he'd like the next manager to have experience.
Yes, I do. I think experience when you go into any type of hiring process, experience is overwhelmingly a big positive. In our particular situation, I think it'll definitely carry a lot of weight given all the factors that you just described. If you look at history, it is not a requisite for managerial success, and it's not necessary, and nor does it guarantee the success. So, kind of like I said earlier, it'll all be weighed in the portfolio of the candidate and their other perceived strengths and areas of lacking. You know, we'll just look at the whole picture and the person and try to decide who's best for us right now. But, experience will definitely be an attractive feature by and large.
Look, that was a lot.
This guy also said at one point he hasn't mapped out the X's and O's yet for his process of hiring a manager. He fired his buddy Brandon Hyde in May. Like, the fix is in. Like, this is what it is.
Well, he was saying experience really matters, but then
this guy's got 100 well, games, but he's also going to say this guy's a perfect mix of both.
Yeah.
Like, it
coming up,
this team hasn't even hit rock bottom yet. Next year will be worse.
Coming up
from the guy who told you they'll win as many games as the Sacktown A's. Guess what? They won one fewer.
At 3:15, we're going to take your calls. So much to dissect in Baltimore sports. Ravens laying egg. Mike Elias, Tony Mancelino held their end of season press conference. 410-583-1057. We'll take your calls at 3:15. At 3, we're going to get back into the Ravens and look at the ugly defensive performance, the latest ugly defensive performance. But coming up next, Northern Exposure. We're going to get into the Steelers. Steelers coming off, arguably, their most impressive game of the season. Here come the Steelers? We'll tell you next on The Fan. Joe Davis on the call, courtesy of NFL Network, and that was in the first half. And DK Metcalf had 5 catches for 126 yards. The Steelers' ground game showed a pulse.
With no Warren. Yeah, late scratch Warren.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell just 1 yard shy of rushing for 100. And Aaron Rodgers was very efficient as well. 18 of 22, 200 yards, a touchdown, 0 interceptions.
I know Minnesota's dealing with some injuries on their defense, but I thought Brian Flores was going to be able to heat up Aaron Rodgers a little bit, especially when I saw that Warren was scratched. And that wasn't really the case. Look, the Steelers have deficiencies. They're no juggernaut. They're no great team. But Mike Tomlin, more often than not, finds ways to win games. And this got closer than it probably needed to late.
Vikings had a chance to tie or win the game in the final possession.
Ultimately, Aaron Rodgers was the better quarterback, and I think that's probably why they won. And he wasn't great, but Carson Wentz, who's never had a great internal clock, is just completely out of sorts and holds the ball too long. He's not the athlete he used to be to bail himself out of things. Like, his vision and his sort of internal cadence is... it's like he's watching a different game than we're watching. I don't understand, especially when you saw that, okay, Watt came to play today. Like, I don't understand what he was doing with the football on many occasions.
I still am not impressed with this Steelers defense. No. They give up a lot of yards, but what they do well, and this goes back to the New England...
turnovers.
Exactly. And that is so
great equalizer.
Massive, because if you're going to give up a ton of yards, and they did, gave up 420 yards, Carson Wentz threw for 350, but you got the 2 interceptions, which is huge, and that's the only reason they won that game in New England last week was getting 5 turnovers.
Well, and even the Ramsey one was close, and that got overturned, but that could have been another game-changing takeaway. Look, they've got warts and issues, without a doubt. But they got off the mat a couple times. They responded to giving one away to Seattle. They found a way to beat the Patriots, which that might look like a pretty decent win. Now, the Patriots are looking okay under Vrabel. Drake May's looking pretty good. So that, and I get it. Between the 20s, New England was the better team, but they turned the ball over. Drake May's got a fumbling problem. Doesn't throw a lot of picks, got a fumbling problem. And Pittsburgh capitalized on it. I mean,
they have an opportunity.
People want to write them off every year.
Sure.
And it's just, they're not going away.
And they have an opportunity because, as I've been saying a lot, their first half of the schedule is very soft. They have their bye week following the Dublin game.
Yes.
Then they host the Browns. Look, that defensive front against the Steelers O-line is going to be tough. I'm not saying that's a layup game by any means, but that's a game that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers should win coming off a bye. And then you head to Cincinnati. So you can pick up a couple of divisional games, divisional wins prior to the schedule ratcheting up.
Yeah, look, their offensive line isn't great. Aaron Rodgers is not. I mean, I know Metcalf had some plays there, but a lot of that's run after the catch. Like, they're not. Yeah. The air yards downfield really aren't there, but they've got, and they even had some special teams issues yesterday. But for the most part, they've got better special teams than you. The defense is incredibly opportunistic. The quarterback makes just enough plays. He's not going to take a lot of sacks. He's not going to hold the ball forever. And I don't know that the Ravens are going to railroad them like they did last year. I mean, the history of this series is not usually one team stomping the other twice in a row like that.
Jason, with how the Ravens are right now, I don't know if they're railroading anybody that I can say with confidence. Now, I said this last week, and I still believe it. You know, even with them being 1-3, is it a death sentence? No, although I do feel much worse about this Ravens team than I did a week ago. But I still think this division's weak. The Ravens' schedule lightens up, but they have a load of issues that they need to fix, and we're going to get into them on the other side. Defensive-wise, our six-pack, our six observations of the Ravens' defense following a 37-20 loss. That's on the other side, but if you want to call in, now is your chance. 410-583-1057. If you want to get to the front of the line, we're going to take your calls at 315. If you want to weigh in on this Ravens defense, is this fixable? How concerned are you with all of the injuries? If you're just tuning in, Nnamdi Matabike is done for the season. John Harbaugh confirmed that. Nnamdi Matabike out for the year. We're going to take your calls at 315, 410-583-1057. But six pack next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.